Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
Famous jury trials, dramatizations of cases taken from actual court history.
The Imperial German Crown versus Edith Louisa Havel.
On the fateful day of August 4th in the year 1914, the first soldiers of the Imperial German Army marched across the frontier into Belgium. By midnight, the whole of Europe had been engulfed in earth-shattering catastrophe. That historic evening, British Foreign Minister Sir Edward Grey wrote in his diary,
"The lamps are going out all over Europe tonight. I doubt if we will see them relit in our lifetime."
Within a short time, the first 100,000 British soldiers were on their way to Belgium. But unnoticed in the heroic turmoil of those catastrophic days, a woman, little known to her fellow countrymen, had also left her peaceful English home for Belgium. Nurse Edith Louisa Cavell. It was a little over a year after her arrival in Belgium that Edith Cavell stood motionless and erect before a court-martial composed of officers of the Kaiser's army. Adolf Sterber opened the proceedings.
Your name?
Edith Cavell.
Your occupation?
I am a nurse.
Don't you mean spy?
Is that the charge against me?
Lieutenant Bergen, read the charge against the prisoner Cavell.
It is charged that Edith Cavell is guilty of high treason to the German crown, and that the accused, in violation of paragraph number 58 of the Imperial German Military Code, did aid enemy soldiers to escape from German territory and return them to their own forces, the penalty for that crime being death.
Has the accused anything to say?
Yes. I am a British subject. How can I be guilty of high treason to Germany when I have never professed any allegiance or loyalty to the German government?
You are a resident in German-occupied territory. That is sufficient.
Well, then, may I speak with my lawyer? I have a lawyer, haven't I?
Certainly. That gentleman over there is handling your defense.
Then
but you will not be allowed to speak to him.
Not speak to him? How could he present any evidence in my defense unless I'm allowed to speak to him?
There will be no evidence in your defense, Fräulein Cavell.
Oh, I see.
Has the accused anything further to say? Then we will proceed with the testimony of the first witness, Otto Müller.
And so began the trial of Edith Cavell. We return to the courtroom in just a moment. Tonight's famous jury trial.
The Imperial German Crown versus Edith Louisa Cavell.
The story of Edith Cavell began when she left England to become matron of St. Giles Hospital in Brussels. The German armies were pushing relentlessly on through Belgium and into France. Edith Cavell in her hospital in Brussels was trapped behind the German lines. It was during this period that a visitor was ushered into Nurse Cavell's office in St. Giles Hospital.
My name is Philip Bock, Madame Cavell. I am a Belgian.
Yes.
And you are an Englishwoman, are you not?
Yes, I am.
A loyal Englishwoman?
I hope so.
Forgive my asking these questions, Madame, but I have come to ask your help. Help for your countrymen and mine who are trapped behind the German lines at Mons. I want to help them escape.
But what can I do, Monsieur Bock?
First, the men must be brought by twos and threes to Brussels. I can handle that. Here, they must have a safe place to hide and rest. while I arrange for guides to take them the rest of the way to the frontier.
I see. And you want me to hide these men here in the hospital?
Yes.
Monsieur Bouc, the wards of this hospital are already crowded with wounded soldiers, most of them Belgian or British. My responsibility is to those men. I can't consent to doing anything that might endanger their lives.
But, madame...
Please let me finish. There is a desperate shortage of nurses and hospitals. I can't run the risk of having this hospital closed or any of the staff arrested.
Madame, please. You must reconsider if these soldiers are captured.
I'm sorry, Monsieur Bouc. I would like to help you, but I am not a free agent.
Very well. But here is my card. Please keep it. And if you should ever change your mind, you can reach me at that address.
Philippe Bouc, 19, Rue de la Tour. Thank you, monsieur. I wish you all good luck in your work. God bless you. Come in.
My name is Lieutenant Birkin. You are following Edith Cavell?
Yes.
Following. It has come to our attention that although you discharge 4 or 5 patients a day, only a small part of that number report themselves to the authorities. The rest disappear.
We give all the soldiers directions as how to reach the German police headquarters when they're discharged and explain that the regulations require them to report this. I give you my word of honor, the hospital has obeyed all regulations to the letter.
As you are an Englishwoman, you can scarcely expect me to take your word of honor very seriously, can you?
But I tell you...
You tell me. I will tell you, Fräulein Cavell. Any soldiers caught trying to evade the authorities are now being shot. And anyone who helps them will be shot. Is that plain?
You mean to say you shot down captured English soldiers in cold blood?
That's exactly what I mean. Already, we have shot more than 100.
But that's murder.
Anyone who can read the new regulations will know what to expect from now on. If they wish to be shot, that is their affair. And don't imagine for one moment that if you attempt to aid your countryman, you will be spared because you are a woman and a nurse, Fräulein Cavell. On the contrary, precisely because you are a woman and a nurse, an example will be made of you. Is that clear?
Perfectly. Have you anything more to say?
No, that is all. Good day, Fräulein.
Elizabeth? Elizabeth?
Yes? Yes, Miss Cavell? I'm coming. What is it you want now?
I want you to go to the address on this card and ask to see Monsieur Bouc personally.
Philip Bouc, 19 Rue de la Tour.
What do I tell him? Tell him I've changed my mind.
What about?
He'll understand. Just tell him I've changed my mind.
I got your message, Madame Cavell, and I came as soon as I could. Am I to understand that you are now willing to help me?
Monsieur Bouc, when you were here before, I told you that saving lives was more important than saving men from prison.
Yes, madame.
Well, I have just had a visit from a German officer, a Lieutenant Bergen.
Yes?
He told me that if the men you are trying to help are caught, they will not be sent to prison. They will be shot.
Yes, those are the new regulations.
Monsieur Bouc, I am ready to help you in any way I can.
Oh, thank you, madame. Thank you.
There's just one question I want to ask you. Why are you willing to risk your life trying to save English soldiers? How am I to know that this whole scheme is not a trap?
Madame, have you seen Louvain since the Germans were there?
No.
My family was in Louvain. My wife and the 2 little children. Louvain doesn't exist anymore. And my family, it doesn't exist anymore.
Forgive me, but tell me what I must do. I'm ready to start helping you at once.
Edith Cavell had made her fateful decision. And soon British soldiers by 2s and 3s, ragged, unkempt, half-starved from weeks of living in the forest, were being helped by the secret organization to reach the St. Giles Hospital in Brussels. And there, Edith Cavell nursed them back to health and strength. As they became strong again, the soldiers, alone and in little groups, made their final desperate bid for freedom in swift dashes by night for the Dutch border. Some escaped. Some were captured by the German outposts.
In here, all of you! Sergeant Miller reporting, Excellency.
Yes, Sergeant. And who are these gentlemen?
British soldiers, Excellency. They were trying to cross the frontier.
So, have you gentlemen anything to say for yourselves? No? Take them out and have them shot.
It became a deadly battle of wits, a daring game of chance. Freedom was the well-paid reward for stealth, and above all, heroic courage. Patrols were redoubled on the roads leading to the border as both sides became more ingenious in their methods. Many soldiers were able to make good their escape. Many died trying. But the danger was not confined to the soldiers. In the St. Giles Hospital at Brussels...
The Germans are down below. They're going to search the place.
Well, Elizabeth, go down and bring them up here to my office.
Here?
But be quiet, Elizabeth, and listen to me. You must keep them here for 15 minutes.
How can I keep them here?
Will you listen, please? Tell them I have just stepped out and will be back in a few minutes. Ask them not to disturb my personal files here. Their examination of the files should take them 15 minutes.
Oh,
I see. Now hurry and get them up here.
But what are you going to do? How can you hide them here?
The less you know about that, the safer you will be, Elizabeth. Get along with you now. I will be back here in 15 minutes.
You wish to see me, Herr Leutnant?
Yes, Herr Meyer. I have reports here that 6 more British soldiers crossed the frontier yesterday. You have had months to find out where the soldiers are hidden in Brussels. So far, you have failed. You must find where the soldiers are hidden. Our number one suspect is the English nurse, Cavell. All our reports indicate that she is a key figure in the conspiracy. But so far... all searches of a hospital have failed to discover any incriminating evidence. Send a spy to a hospital. Have you got a man for the job?
Herr Müller has been very successful posing as a Belgian.
Then use him.
Yes, Excellency.
And Meyer, tell him to use the name of Jakob. Tell him to take the name of Henri Jakob.
Miss Cavell, there's a man outside. He wants you to hide him.
Oh, but don't you do it, Miss Cavell. Do you know who he is?
No. He looks like a Belgian. He has no papers or other credentials. And he didn't know the password. He's a spy, I'm sure of it.
Perhaps you're right, Elizabeth. But if he seems to be in trouble, we can't refuse to help him.
But you mustn't help him, Miss Cavell. You mustn't.
Elizabeth, I had rather make a mistake than to turn away someone who was really in need. Send this man in to me. What did you say his name was?
Jakob was the name he gave. Over, Jakob.
It was Henri Jakobs, alias Otto Müller, who became the star prosecution witness at the fateful trial of Edith Cavell. The man whose evidence settled her fate and was to make her name ring around the world. We will continue with this dramatic story in just a moment. And now back to Brussels in the year 1915, where Edith Cavell, charged with high treason to Germany, faced a court-martial of German officers, listened with quiet dignity to the testimony of the spy Otto Müller, whom she had admitted to our hospital as Henri Jakobs.
Miss Cavell took me into the hospital and hid me there with 5 or 6 British soldiers. After keeping us hidden for 10 days, Miss Cavell brought a man to us, who guided us to the frontier.
And did you and the British soldiers succeed in crossing the frontier?
We did.
Herr Müller, did the accused appear to know this guide intimately?
Absolutely. And others, who are known to us as spies. I saw her give the guide a message that she had received from spies here to carry into Holland with him.
But that's not...
Silence, Fräulein! That is all, Herr Müller.
But I want my lawyer to cross-examine that
man. Prisoner Cavell, it is not permitted to cross-examine the witnesses. Call Otto Meyer.
One by one, witnesses were called before the officers who shamefacedly accused Edith Cavell of harboring enemy soldiers. Notable exceptions were ringleaders in the organization, such as Philip Boak, who tried to clear Edith Cavell. But the evidence had already piled up mountainously against her when she herself was called to the witness box.
Fräulein Cavell, did you enter in a conspiracy to smuggle British soldiers back to their own country and their own lines?
No. I hid the soldiers in my hospital until they were ready to try to escape.
You admit that?
Yes.
And did you not also procure guides to lead them to the frontier?
No. That was done by others.
And others brought the soldiers to the hospital?
Yes.
Who were those others? Who were those others?
I'm not going to answer that question.
You admit that you knew when and where these guides were available and you instructed the soldiers accordingly?
Yes.
And yet you deny that you took part in the conspiracy?
But I have never been a spy or knowingly aided a spy. I have only done what I could to save the lives of my countrymen who were in danger of being shot.
Silence! The record is complete, gentlemen. But before we proceed with the verdict, we must hear from the defense lawyer, Herr Kirschen, who has the right, or should I say, the somewhat unpleasant duty of speaking on behalf of the accused. Have you anything to say, Herr Kirschen?
Well, yes. But, gentlemen, I am Romanian and totally unfamiliar with German military law.
Don't apologize to the court, Herr Kirschen. We are aware of your nationality.
Oh? As I understand it, the only charge against Fräulein Cavell is violation of paragraph number 58 of the military code. That is, aiding enemy soldiers to escape from German territory and return to their own lines. And the seriousness of the offense lies solely in that these men are able to resume their duties as soldiers of the enemy.
Exactly. We estimate that Fräulein Cavell aided more than 250 men to escape. 250 men now fighting against Germany because of her actions. Is it any wonder that the death penalty is demanded for her crime?
But, gentlemen, no charge has been proved against the defendant. There is no evidence that the men she helped ever returned to their own lines.
One moment. Prisoner Cavell, stand up. The English are an ungrateful race, are they not, Fräulein? Isn't it true that not one of those soldiers who helped wrote to thank you for what you had done?
Of course it isn't true. Many of them wrote. Well, I got a letter from London only a few weeks ago.
So, if the man was in England when he wrote that letter, it is certain he has since returned to the front. That's all, Fräulein Cavell. Proceed, Herr Kirschen.
Excellency. I still maintain that Edith Cavell is innocent of the charge of aiding soldiers to return to their own lines. She aided them to escape into Holland. It was Holland's clear duty under international law to intern any foreign soldiers on her soil for the duration of the war. It was not Edith Cavell, but the Dutch, who permitted the English to return to their own lines. Miss Cavell is guilty only of failure to register the patients in her care and of passport violations in aiding them to cross a neutral frontier. And she has admitted these offenses. Comparatively light offenses compared with violating paragraph 58, which may carry the death penalty. And in view of the fact that Edith Cavell is a woman and a nurse who has cared for wounded German soldiers with the same devotion as she cared for her own countrymen, I ask the greatest possible clemency for her. Your Excellencies, I say to you that if this woman were German and had done the same for German soldiers, you would be very proud of her. Very proud of her.
Have you quite finished, Herr Kirschen?
Yes, Excellency.
You would have made a fine actor, Herr Kirschen. Gentlemen of the court, I know we are agreed upon the verdict. Yeah. Edith Cavell, it is the verdict of this court that you stand convicted of violation of paragraph 58 of the German Imperial Military Code. The court is unanimous upon the sentence. Edith Cavell, I sentence you to be shot by a firing squad. Remove the prisoner to her cell.
But they will, Elizabeth. I think I knew all the time that they would. And so I'm quite prepared for what must happen. But there's one thing that will make me happy in the little time left to me.
What? What?
To know that you will carry on the work of the hospital. Not the work that I did for the soldiers, but to care for the wounded and the sick. You will be in charge now. Tell me you will carry on our work.
I will, Miss Cavill. I'll try to do my best.
Elizabeth, one thing more. I want you to know that I have loved you very dearly. Goodbye, Elizabeth.
Goodbye, Miss Cavill. Goodbye.
We conclude the story of Edith Cavill in just a moment. In her cell at the prison where she is waiting for the court sentence to be carried out, Edith Cavill receives her last visitor.
Miss Cavill, I am the Reverend Dr. Sterling Garne. I came because I want to help you in any way possible.
Thank you, Dr. Garne.
If there is anything I can do for you, Miss Cavill, let me know it now. I will look upon it as a sacred trust.
There is one thing you can do for me, Dr. Garne. If I have time, I'll try to write it in the letters I want to send to my friends. But I'm afraid that perhaps I won't be able to say it clearly enough, or eloquently enough. And it is all so clear in my mind. You must speak to the world for me. Tell them I have nothing to regret and nothing to forgive. If I had it to do over again, I would not do other than I have done. The world may say that I acted out of patriotism. But I know now that patriotism is not enough. The Germans have patriotism. That will not win them the war. There is something else, above and beyond patriotism, that the German militarists will never know. It is a vision. A vision of the things we are fighting for. A vision of the world at peace. Of nations living in mutual security. Of a world so constituted that hatred and greed, autocracy and oppression shall never again be permitted to endanger our lives or the lives of our children. And once see the goal clearly, we shall fight and keep on fighting. And no power on earth will stop us short of our goal. Tell them that, Dr. Garne. Tell them that for me. Make them understand.
I will try, Miss Cavill. I'll do my best.
Thank you, Dr. Garne. They're coming for me.
Miss McCavill, come with us.
I am ready. Goodbye, Dr. Garne. And thank you.
Goodbye, Edith Cavill.
And the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, shall never die.
Edith Cavill's life came to an end. But her memory endures. The memory of a woman whose trial echoed throughout the world and whose death remained one of the inspiring epics of the 1914-18 World War. Story trials, the drama of the courts, drawn from actual courtroom cases. This is a Grace Gibson radio production, directed by Lawrence H. Cecil.